Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. No.
You have been listening to Radio Law Talk. Is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk, hour three of the show here. We've gotten up, stretched, walked around, reapplied deodorant, done everything we need to do here for the third hour earlier. If you go back and get your podcast, usually these episodes drop. I want to say Saturday episode will be uploaded by Monday, Tuesday at the latest for next week on the Radio Law Talk podcast. It's on all the podcast carrying entities with. There's an economy of words. And as you can find out there, early in the first hour, we talked about funeral home being sued for dropping a body after they picked it up, and then a hospital accused. I mean, it was dead body hour in the first for the first hour.
Yep.
Hospital accused of propping up a body in the it sounded like Weekend at Bernie's for a family to make a decision to pull the plug, so to speak, even though the person had been dead, they alleged, for 2 hours before that. Time. Second hour, we just finished up. We had the Michael Orr case update and the J.P. Morgan bank settling with an Epstein-related lawsuit with the U.S. Virgin Islands. And we also had a couple of cases or case or no cases mixed in there. And we've also been talking about law school and things that happen in law school, and you know, just ways to prepare for that. We may pick up that discussion here in a little bit. But Cal, you put a bug in my ear. You said this case or no case is going to take a little bit more of a setup, right?
Yeah, it might. So
let's go ahead and go into
that. Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
Joseph Rosefield, in 1921, patented a non-separating, partially hydrogenated peanut oil. Peanut butter based on this hydrogenated oil. It would have a long shelf life, which before peanut butter did not have. It would go rancid in stores. So before that, it was peanut butter was a health food and required refrigeration and had a nasty texture. So Joseph perfected his process, licensed it to a small regional food distributor, Derby Foods, a subsidiary of Swift Company. But Joseph wanted to go nationwide, so he remembered a book he had read 10 years ago, called Peter Pan and Wendy. Rosefield thought, kids, Peter Pan, I'll just use their name. And he did. No licensing, no phone call, no letter from the lawyers to the J.M. Barrie family. So even though the bulk of Barrie's estate was left to his secretary, Lady Cynthia Asquith, the rights to Peter Pan were left to a children's hospital. Asquith went to an attorney about the appropriation of the Peter Pan name for a snack food to see if the hospital, for which she was a fierce advocate and a trustee, could sue Rosefield for stealing the name Peter Pan. Hello? Yes, she wanted to know if J.M. Barrie's beneficiary charity for which she worked had a case or no case. Garrett, you're playing for Fred today. What do you say?
It's an interesting thought. It goes into, you know, I'm thinking about copyrights and, you know, the whole Mickey Mouse thing, right? It goes, how long does that extend to those rights? And I think a lot of the basis of these copyrights and trademarks is, do they compete, right? If you're in the trucking business or in the seafood business, you know, that may not compete. So selling peanut butter and being, you know, a Disney character or, you know, this charity may not compete. So I think it goes to the marketing. So do I think it's a case? I think they're going to make a claim for it. I think there was a case filed, and I don't know. I don't know who would win that. It depends on more facts.
That's why I'm asking you.
So if I had to guess, I'll put peanut butter guy wins.
Okay, so you say Rosefield or the the estate. Okay, what do you say? The hospital. What do you say, Tom?
No, I say the peanut butter guy wins.
Oh, the peanut butter.
Whoever's making the peanut butter hydrogenated.
Yeah, Rosefield.
Yeah.
Rosefield.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, okay. What do you say, Mr. Kuhner?
Case and Rosefield wins.
Yes. Okay.
All right, fair enough.
No. All right, well, you know, at first, and I'm wondering if when he first called, maybe they didn't get back to him. Maybe they said, we'll be back to you in a jiff.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, that didn't make me feel very skippy, but how many peanut butter related puns can I throw in here?
By the way, Rosefield involved in most of those brands, as it turns out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So here's what I'll say. I think this was a case, and I'm pretty certain I've seen Peter Pan peanut butter, not just with the name, but actually with Peter Pan, the likeness, the image of Peter Pan on the outside.
I knew there was peanut butter or Peter Pan peanut butter.
Yeah, and I think that that wouldn't happen unless there was some sort of licensing agreement. And if he didn't have the licensing agreement before, then he would have had to have had it later in order for him to use the likeness and everything on there. And that's why, given the long setup, see this is where you're analyzing Cal more than you are the facts of the case. And given that Cal said, you know, this has got to be a long setup and I got to, you know, get all these facts in here, methinks thou doth explain too much.
Sure.
And I'm going to go with no case.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. That's fine. And I did over-explain because I wanted to make sure I got it right. I don't want, you know, somebody backdoor me like they did last week when I got the wrong state on a lawsuit. And that just was a disaster for me. So here's what we have.
Okay.
First off, you need to know a similar thing occurred when Rosefield started another brand of peanut butter called Skippy, the name stolen from a popular kids character that had a cartoon strip, a radio show, and an Oscar-winning movie about Skippy. And so Rosefield, in 1932, the Alameda County food packer Rosefield began to sell his second peanut oil named Skippy. And that patent was held by a guy, the name of Skippy was held by a guy who went insane, by the way. The guy who held the Skippy copyright went insane. Rosefield persisted in using it because, you know what came right after that? The Lanham Act, Trademark Act. And I know you guys in law school know what that is. That is the first major trademark law in the U.S. So he stole them both, didn't pay anybody any royalties, and never had a case filed against him.
So no case.
No case. Absolutely no case. Isn't it an interesting story, though, how things that we take for granted? By the way, yeah, Jif is still the number one peanut brand, and they sold it on saying, choosy mothers choose Jif. They sold it on a completely different premise than kids like our product. And that's how they became number one. Very competitive segment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'm the biggest loser today.
So I got 8 points today.
Yeah, you're killing it, man.
Wow.
I guess I need to play more often because I don't know Cal like you do. I think that's where I'm losing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Cal's an acquired taste.
And you can play along any time. All you have to do is just listen into the show, because a lot of people do.
Wow.
To that. But
So a couple of cases that we're going to cover. We're coming up on a break. So just to give you a little bit of a tease here, Ed Sheeran. Remember the Ed Sheeran case where essentially the jurors were like, it was actually pretty cool because it was like we had a private concert with him. Shocker that he won that one. Well, an update on the appeal of that case and where that is going or not going, as the case may be. Question about whether or not lyrics to songs can be used against the artist in a trial if something untoward happened, if they were prosecuted. And, you know, what does it mean in legislative language when the word and is used instead of or, and how does that relate to felony sentencing? We'll talk about those and more as we continue with Radio Law Talk after this break. Don't go away.
Lots of good questions and good answers are coming up next on this, the final hour of Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
Call 800-676-0151. 800-676-0151. 800-676-0151.
Attention. If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533. One Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
7.
People must be idiots.
Oh, stop it.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
Okay, so that last soundbite was either a professor I had in law school who did trust and estates, or it was Judge Judy. I'm going to go with Judge Judy.
I would guess the first one.
She has some great minds, man, I got to say. All right, this is Radio Law Talk here with Todd Kuhner and Garrett Penny.
Thank you. All right, so we finished case in no case, right?
We did. I'm the biggest loser.
That's right. You know, there are certain instances in a trial when a statement from a defendant in a criminal trial can be introduced even though that defendant doesn't take the stand. Now, normally, hearsay. What's hearsay?
It's you want layman's term or the legal?
The technical definition of hearsay is an out of court statement offered for the truth of the matter asserted.
What does that mean? That's probably one of the hardest evidence code doctrines to understand for a law student, and it's just something that's said out of court that you can't, I guess, cross examine them on in court.
Yeah. I'll give the basic example. Let's say I witnessed an accident, and let's say I told the first officer in, Todd told the officer, the light was red, okay? The light was red, and I'm just a bystander, a witness. But let's say for some reason, I'm not testifying at trial, and Garrett is the attorney, and Garrett wants to call the officer, Cal. And Garrett wants to call the officer Cal for Cal to say, Todd saw it and he said the light was red. Okay, let's just look at that.
That's the smoking gun for my case.
Yeah, let's just look at that for a second. Okay, the statement, the light was red, as uttered by Todd, was that made in or out of court? Remember, Todd's not in court. Todd didn't say it.
Yeah, it's definitely out of court.
It's an out of court statement. Something Todd said out of court. Todd's not on the witness stand. Todd's not subject to cross examination. So that's one.
I feel out like
of
I'm court in law statement. School again.
Out of court statement. Now, when you want Cal to say that Todd said the light was red, do you want the jury to believe that the light was red?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So the matter asserted, the light was red. You want the jury to believe it. I'm offering it for the truth. So it's an out of court statement. Offered by a witness, Cal, he didn't make it, I did. He's saying what I said for the truth of the matter asserted, to show that the light was red. That's a hearsay statement. That is a hearsay statement. And the general rule is hearsay is not admissible.
Yep.
Because if Fred were the other attorney, he couldn't cross-examine Cal talking for Todd and say, well, do you wear glasses? What was the time of day? Did you see it? Were you distracted?
Yeah.
He could not ask all those questions about cross-examination, which he's entitled to do. And because of that, the statement doesn't come in. Now, that's the general rule. And there are a ton of exceptions to the hearsay rule. So one exception is, well, what if the statement was made by somebody who was a party opponent? What if the plaintiff wants to introduce the statement that a defendant made? Well, the defendant is a party opponent. And in that case, well, yes, that statement would come in. That statement would come in. I mean, Cal, if I was the defendant in a case, Cal could say, yeah, Todd told me the light was red. And that statement would come in against me because, well, I would be able to introduce evidence about what I could or couldn't see and whether the statement was true or not. I have control over that. So against a party opponent, that statement would come in. Why are we talking about all this? Why? Why are we talking about all this? Because people are prosecuted. Sometimes celebrities, sometimes artists are prosecuted. And the prosecution will seek to introduce evidence of a statement that person had made, even if that statement was made as lyrics to a rap song or some other type of song that person recorded.
But it's music. That doesn't mean it's real life.
It doesn't mean it's real life, but it's a statement that they made, right? And they'll seek to introduce that evidence. And the question is, well, first of all, if the statement of a party opponent, is it hearsay?
Yes,
but is it admissible? Well, yes, because that person is a party opponent. The question isn't hearsay. This issue gets analyzed on a hearsay basis. The question is not hearsay. The question is whether it's relevant, right?
Yeah, because it could be thinking about something completely not related to this whatever incident.
Yeah, and that's when a judge has to look at it and say, well, wait a second. Is this relevant to this case? And sometimes you have different judges decide differently, but it's really dependent on the circumstance. In one case, 2014, New Jersey, New Jersey Supreme Court found that the introduction of a defendant rapper's lyrics should not have been admitted into the evidence because the lyrics were general in nature. They weren't talking about a specific incident, right? And so it was general in nature. It wasn't an admission. It was just something. I mean, it would be like Carrie Underwood being accused of a crime, and they try to introduce the lyrics of "He Better Think Before He Cheats," where she talks about wanting to take a baseball bat
Better Dig Two or whatever it is. You know? That's a different artist.
And so you've got that. Unless, of course, the artist was being prosecuted for vandalism and domestic violence vandalism, and then it's like, okay, maybe. But that song was recorded 10 years earlier. It couldn't be relevant to what she's doing now. Interesting the way this court does it. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick this up. We'll talk about more when we come back. Don't go away.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Prosecuted for...
More Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do.
The best thing about Coca Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Up inside, let's take a ride and watch this better shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your mind will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
USA News update. With negotiations still at a gridlock, the government shutdown is looming if a deal cannot be reached by tonight. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's last-ditch effort at convincing fellow Republicans fell apart yesterday when they rejected a bill that he proposed to temporarily fund the government.
I pledged in taking this job to change Washington, to stand up for the American public.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
The government will shut down if there's no deal by midnight. More auto workers joined the picket line after UAW and Ford failed to come to an agreement after 2 weeks of talks.
The president of the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, says there's a long way to go before the union reaches a deal with Ford. The UAW expanding its strike with more workers joining the picket line at factories in Illinois and Michigan. More than 25,000 auto workers on strike right now.
Laura Winters reporting. I'm Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Kind of a big deal.
Your money's no good here.
Are you serious?
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny.
So we were talking about lyrics that are used, that sometimes are proposed to be used in court. And the reason we're talking is because there's a couple of new laws out. California has a law that prohibits or is seeking to prohibit the introduction of lyrics unless they're relevant to the case. And Georgia has a similar law that seeks to prohibit the introduction of lyrics unless they're relevant to the case. And I found this kind of interesting because it's like you're codifying something that was already the analysis.
It's redundant, right? I presume Georgia's the same, but California and the federal laws, they have a relevancy code in there. It says the evidence must be relevant, which seems basic in nature, but it's in there. I don't know why they would have to codify that.
I mean, like 1991, for example, there was a federal prosecution. And in the prosecution, they were charging this artist, who was also a rap artist, charging him with importation of drugs and drug distribution. Right? And so the question here is obviously the defense is, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't do that. I wouldn't know how to do that. And they're saying it wasn't me, and I have nothing to do with this. Well, they were able to introduce these lyrics that said, quote, key for key, pound for pound, I'm the biggest dope dealer, I serve all over town. Now, here's the thing. The reference to key for key and pound for pound are references to amounts and terminology used in connection with drug sales. And so if you're an artist and you're saying these things and you have that, they're able to use that to refute any argument that the artist might have. So I don't know the first thing about drug dealing and doing it. Well, you're talking about it in your songs, right?
Obviously, you have some knowledge about those happenings.
Who was the artist? He was just we covered this last week. He's being held pending appeal. And he's the guy that was convicted. He was convicted of shooting another artist in a what was it? It was, I think, a party at during the pandemic, and it was one of those things where he was kind of shooting at the ground, like, dance, dance, and this girl got shot two or three times in the leg, and he was recently convicted.
Wasn't that like Megan Thee Stallion or something
Megan
like that?
Megan Thee Stallion was the artist that was shot.
Yeah.
And the guy that shot her was convicted, and he's got an appeal because he's looking at 10-plus years in prison for shooting her. And the problem he's got... Now look, we've covered lyrics up to this point that were in songs that predated any offense, right? They predate the offense. The problem with that artist's lyrics and any seeking to introduce him was... he recorded and released an album after the incident where he's making reference to the incident, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, if they find lyrics that show acceptance or culpability, guess what? That's probably going to be admissible because you're talking about it in your music, right?
Yeah, and then, well, then the, I guess... how far can you stretch that out? What if it's just writing the lyrics and you didn't sing them? Or someone else wrote them and you sung them?
Which would be a big thing in some industries, like in the country music industry. There are a lot of people that...
ghostwrite.
They don't write their own music. I mean, there's a music writing industry, and your manager and the record company curate the music. They come up with the basic melodies and lyrics, and then the artist comes in and sings it. It becomes the artist's song. They purchase it, right?
Yeah.
It's the artist's song going forward, but the artist didn't write it.
Yeah.
It was written by somebody else. Well, okay, so there's that. But if somebody wrote a song for an artist and they included the artist's name, and then the artist turned around and started singing it, there's an adoptive admission.
Yeah.
You might not have written it, but you sang about it. You made it. What did they say on American Idol? Dog, you need to make your song your own. Well, you made it your own. So in those instances, you could run into situations where that song, those statements could be attributable to you. But
this isn't a new thing either. It's not within the last few years. This has been going on for years with big popular music artists.
Yeah. You know, I guess the thing that I would say is, you know, there's some people ask, how come you don't take callers on Radio Law Talk that call in with a specific question? You know, look, this happened to me. I got this landlord. Why don't you do that? Well, there's a couple reasons. First, I would need to get so much more information about your situation to be able to talk to you about your situation than what I would even remotely be able to get in the brief soundbite that you give me as a caller. That's one, right? The second is, when you talk with your attorney, you have this thing called the attorney-client privilege.
Which
right?
is the best part of being an attorney.
So you can be open and talk to me, and what you say, it's not that it just can't be used against you. It can't be divulged so other people can hear it. Well, you kind of blow that out the window if you call on a national talk show. Well, let me tell you this thing. Now, nobody can use this. Well, they can.
Everywhere.
How do I keep my spouse from knowing about these things? I think they know.
Yeah,
we have a podcast of this that drops the fall 2 days later, and it would be on. That's why we don't give the specific information, right? And that's why we don't field that. But part of that also is... if you don't want the general public to know about things, don't put it in your rap music or your country music or your rock music. If you don't want them to know about that.
Yeah. Right?
Or in your breakup song.
Yes.
Which is already being written, apparently.
I wonder right now, because she writes her own music. Taylor Swift writes her own music. I mean, she's a fabulous artist, but... let me tell you something. I mean, you have to be under a rock, sleeping under a rock right now to not hear about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce of the...
Who's Travis Kelce again?
Yeah, the tight end for the...
Kansas City Chiefs. Enough already.
Whose brother is an offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles. But so we got all that. And I'm just wondering for Travis Kelce if... how to know when your relationship might not be going the way you want with Taylor Swift. Mid-conversation at dinner, she pulls out her songwriting book. What'd you say again? And makes notes of it. Because I'm already writing the song for my future breakup.
On the way home from the date, there's a drop. you get this little notice on your account. Oop, Taylor's dropped a new song.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You're like, oh,
and that's
no.
how you found out.
That's how did you find out it was over? Well, she released an album on
Spotify.
It,
told me,
you know,
called Travis Thinks.
Yeah, you get married. You get married. And then she drops the album and then separates 2 days later. But you still get the proceeds as community property because it was created, assuming no prenup.
I'm sure there'll be one.
Yeah.
Prenups there.
Oh, they're going to be fine. Listen, here's my thing about this. Stop it. Just let them go be happy. Why is this such a big thing? You know, people date each other all the time. Doesn't Taylor deserve some happiness?
Well, NFL's going to make a killing off it.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Nails are
they
rising. Are. Chiefs, are, more specifically, the Chiefs, though.
But you know who's making money right now? People who have seats to the Jets game who are selling them online.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, the prices have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
By the way, a little update. We don't have this here, but I read that the IRS... Did you hear... recently it was announced that the IRS is going to be using AI more... in their audits. And Cal, I think you had asked me a question.
Yep.
Why do they need AI to go over books? And you had asked me, how is this, what are they going to be using it for?
Yeah, what's the benefit of that?
Now look, I can only speculate, right? I'm not privy to any IRS code, and I don't know what they officially say, but I do know this. After making that announcement, one of the things they've said is they're going to start monitoring more people that sell tickets to games where you know they buy a ticket for $50 and they sell it for $150 or $1,000. They're going to start monitoring that more. I could see them using AI to do that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you can scour the internet for these things. I could see them using, again, I have no inside information on this, but somebody does their taxes and they still come in and they say, I make $40,000 a year. I'm barely, you know, I got three kids and barely. You have any of this stuff, but on Instagram, they're posting pictures of the trip to Hawaii that they took and the trip to Cancun that they took and all this stuff. I could see the IRS going, wait a minute. You make $40,000. You work in a minimum wage job part-time filing your taxes. This lifestyle that you say you're living isn't matching what we see here. I could see them using AI to investigate that far more efficiently than an agent could, and then popping up, okay,
red flags.
These are the flags that an agent would then have to go in and take a look at. Big brother. That's how I see it being used.
Privacy? What's that?
Well, no privacy if you're posting it online, right?
Well, that's my point. And then how do you protect yourself just by being smart? I mean, don't be a dumb.
Which takes us back to, we circle back to the lyrics. If you don't want to be held liable for it, stop making public statements about it. You know, you have the right to remain silent. You just seem to lack the ability. All right. Come back to the last segment after this. Don't go away. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
Quick takes coming up with Todd and Garrett on the last segment of Radio Law Talk, which will be here after this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Hey, what's your problem, bro? You don't belong in this neighborhood, and we're doing our job checking it out.
Oh, stop it.
This is Radio Law Talk.
So, you know, we get to talking at the break, and then after the break is over, it's like, huh, well, what were we talking about? So, we have some updates here. Ed Sheeran. You know, Ed Sheeran, we had the case where he was sued because, who was it? Ed Townsend, the estate of Ed Townsend. Now, the estate of Ed Townsend has sued other people. They sued Farrell and Robin Thicke for copywriting or for copyright infringement on their song "Blurred Lines" that they said they cribbed from Marvin Gaye's song "Gotta Give It Up," right? And Ed Townsend was a co-writer on that. Ed Townsend did writing with, we talked last time about people who write, but they don't necessarily record. Yep. Townsend wrote and recorded songs with Marvin Gaye, and his heirs, his estate, he's since passed. His estate has been monitoring, hey, are people infringing on our music? And they took, they sued Ed Sheeran, because they claimed that Ed Sheeran's song infringed on one of theirs. And now, look, it's Sheeran won that lawsuit, and the jury returned the verdict in his favor. That was just a couple months ago. And shortly after that, the estate of Townsend appealed the verdict. Now, look, here's the problem anyone's going to have when it comes to trying to sue somebody like Ed Sheeran or other artists for copyright infringement. Because this is the way that it worked. Ed Sheeran gets up there, and the big issue is, how did you come up with this song? You know, what did you listen to? Did you infringe on it from what the original artist did? Well, you get this artist sitting there, and let's face it.
A little starstruck.
People are starstruck. Here you got 12 jurors, 9, 12, however many they've got in a civil case in that jurisdiction. Sometimes it varies. You have a six-person jury, 12, 9. Just depends on the jurisdiction. But in this one, I think there's 12 jurors sitting there, about as far away from Ed Sheeran as we are in the studio. You know, your range is 6 to 10 feet away from the nearest or furthest juror away, 6 to, say, 20 feet. And they probably give them a little bit of space. And here you've got Ed Sheeran, who's selling out. He's on tour. He's selling out all over the country, but these jurors get a front row seat to him sitting there. And said, well, this is how I came up with this. And he pulls out this guitar, and it's fascinating to watch. If you think I play guitar. If you think that you can play guitar and stuff, and it's great, and then you watch an artist who makes their money playing guitar, and you realize, I might have been playing for 30, 40 years, but I ain't that level.
Yeah.
Right? And you see this person just kind of whip out a song and sing it, and they're on pitch, and everything's great, and you almost expect one of the jurors start holding up a lighter, waving their handbag. If that happens in a case and you're the plaintiff in that case, trust me, you've lost.
Yeah.
The case is done. But they've got the artist sitting there playing right in front of you. Shocker. Verdict for the defense.
Yep.
You know, verdict for the defendant. And so I think that that might have been the basis of the appeal in the Ed Sheeran case was, you know, there was a little bit of the starstruck stuff going on there, and maybe they didn't listen to music or they were instructed inappropriately, blah, blah, blah. But this case is now done because the estate of Ed Townsend dropped the appeal.
And I think a lot of people have a misconception about appeals. You can't appeal if you just don't like the verdict.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you know, I want another shot at this. It's there has to go something wrong in the evidence, or the judge abused discretion, or something's wrong, and then you appeal on that point. And hopefully that point's enough to overturn it, so you have to redo it, or you have to change something.
Yeah, you can't appeal because you think the jury got it wrong.
Yeah.
Your basis for appeal is the jury got it wrong, but the reason the jury got it wrong was because of some procedural thing the judge did.
Exactly.
Or that the essentially appeals are putting the judge on trial. Every ruling, what did the judge do that allowed the jury to come up with this clearly erroneous determination? Well, that appeal has now been dropped, and dropped with prejudice, so it can't come back. They're not able to refile again on this appeal. But it's like this gets back to what we said first hour when we were talking about the my take on all of these copyright lawsuits is it just feels like
it feels like
it's publicity. Look, I would love to know. I'm waiting for somebody to release the sales tracking of Marvin Gaye's song. So Ed Sheeran writes a song. Somebody says that he has infringed on the copyright of this Marvin Gaye song. From the time the lawsuit is filed until the time that it's over, I would love to see if there's a spike in the sales of the older song that was infringed upon.
Well, I'm sure, because they want to listen to it. Or, I guess it's not so much sales nowadays. It's more of
streams.
Yeah. But I'm sure there is a spike.
You know, it's interesting. I saw the other day, I follow this one artist, or this one guy. He runs a music studio, and he's giving all of the inside. I mean, there's one on the Sunset Strip. It's a podcast, and it's available on YouTube, and it goes over, all right, I was the engineer working at Sunset Strip when Van Halen came in and recorded the first album. And they'll play the raw track of Eruption. That was the guitar solo that put Eddie Van Halen on the map. And they said, this was from the mic that was over here, and they had another mic that was in another room to really get the echo and all this kind of stuff. And you hear these different tracks. It's fascinating. But this one guy has started an AI calculation. He says, okay, there are 12 notes in an octave. There are, 13 keys. Different keys that things can be written in. Mathematically, just through sheer numbers, you could start an A like a robo-dialer does. They start with the first number, the second number. You could go through and mimic all the different permutations of a song with beats and things like that. And when you do, his theory is you would essentially gut every copyright claim out there.
Yeah.
Because now you can say mathematically we hit all the permutations, I own them, and we're good.
Yeah. What a song.
Yeah, what a song. He'd have like a bajillion songs, but I've copyrighted and I made them all public domain, so stop with the copyrights.
Yeah, let's enjoy artist renditions, I guess.
Yeah. U.S. Supreme Court, really quickly. What's the difference between and or?
It seems pretty obvious, I would think. You know, and is together and or is could be either one.
So here's the problem with sentencing. That's specifically going to be addressed by the Supreme Court. You've got federal sentencing says that there are these three different conditions, and they've got them, and they say, look, if a defendant has been convicted of this, and he doesn't have A, B, and C, then you can't exceed the sentencing and give him a higher sentence. And the way that it's written, you could look at it as saying, look, these three conditions, A, B, and C, each one of those could be something that would allow for a higher disposition.
Yeah.
Or, because they use the word and, they say, no, you have to have all three in order for the judge to allow a higher sentencing. And right now, because of the way the legislature drafted it, and this is only from 2019, U.S. Supreme Court's going to have to spend its time to determine whether it's and or. This whole thing could be gutted if the legislature had just came in and said, this is what we meant by it, and we're changing the language. Grammar, folks. Grammar could result in people having to spend more time in prison, and that's what the U.S. Supreme Court's going
to
decide.
Well, isn't that what I said in prepping for law school? You need to know your grammar.
Need to know your grammar.
So it's more important than you think. And a lot of these lawsuits, I think you'd be shocked at how many are fought over simple words like that and how controversial it could be argued. I mean, the word shall is found in a lot of statutes.
It is.
But
Bill Clinton is. Remember that?
Hey.
It all depends on what the meaning of is.
It all does.
Yeah, remember that.
It all depends on quick takes.
Remember, well, that's our next meeting is you get to tell us what your quick takes are. If I can just get there, you go. Let's go on. Anyway, we may not have the music bed, but still we have the idea. What is quick takes for you today, Mr. Kuhner? What do you have for us?
My quick take, I'm going to bear what I said before. If you don't want the government to know what you think on a certain subject, just stay silent. Don't write about it. Don't talk about it in shows. They can't force you to talk. You exercise your right to remain silent.
Force yourself to talk. Garrett, what do you think? What's your quick take,
sir? Well, I think honesty is always the best policy, and don't make your patients look alive dead or dead alive.
There you go. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week on Radio Law Talk on your favorite channel. Have a good week, everybody.
RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.